love that old song, don't you?
And I'm glad it's my story. Amen. I'm one of them that's talking about there. Saved, born of the Spirit, washed in His blood. That's my story. Amen. And I'm glad that it is. Amen. Amen. All right. If you've got your Bible, remain standing. If you will, turn to Luke chapter number 4. Luke chapter 4. We've been reading a little bit in Ezekiel chapter 1 and Revelation chapter 4. I'm going to skip that tonight. I'll read that to you, but I've got it actually already listed out. I'll read that, but we're going to begin with our initial reading here in Luke chapter 4. And let me read that. Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse number 10. The Bible says, "As for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man and the face of a lion on the right side, and they four had the face of an ox on the left side. They four also had the face of an eagle." So you recognize he's talking about one individual heavenly creature with four different faces. Revelation chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, the Bible says, "And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne, round about the throne, were four beasts full of eyes before and behind." Thank you, brother. "And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle." Again, four different faces. Now, this is four different creatures, but we've got four faces. And we're dealing with the four Gospels and pointing out the fact that Jesus is the heavenly creature they're all talking about. He's the heavenly being that they're all giving us a picture of. And yet there's four different pictures. We might say four different faces of this same individual. Now, Luke chapter number 4 and verse number 16 is where we'll pick up reading tonight by the help of the Lord. The Bible says, "And he came," talking about Jesus, "to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Esaias. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.' And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, 'This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears.'" Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Hall, would you lead us in prayer, please? Yes. Bless him, Lord. Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes. Amen. Amen. All right. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. And I do appreciate that prayer. Amen. And I do appreciate you praying for my wife. Keep her in your prayers if you will. Amen. Well, tonight we're going to look at a second look at the book of Luke. We've been for some time now on Sunday nights particularly looking at this. We call it the harmony of the gospel, dealing really with the distinctions, not how they go together, but really the how the individual ones, and then the whole story goes together to show us a full view of our Lord Jesus Christ. But as we talk about these four beasts, or these four faces upon this one heavenly creature, we talked about the fact that Matthew represents the face of the lion, Christ, as he is revealed in the book of Matthew as the King of the Jews. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the son of Abraham, the son of David, the King of Israel. Then the book of Mark, we dealt with that as being represented by the face of the ox, as Christ is portrayed as the servant and the sacrifice in the book of Mark. Luke's gospel presents Christ with the face of a man. He's portrayed as the Son of Man, the Redeemer of Adam's fallen race. Some say he's revealed in Luke's gospel as the perfect man. Amen. And he's God's perfect servant, as we saw in Mark. He's God's perfect man in Luke's gospel. Then the gospel of John, when we get there, we'll see that he's represented with the face of the eagle as he's shown in his highest. He's the Most High. Amen. He's the Son of God, the Son of the Highest, God in the flesh. Amen. Lord and Savior of mankind. Amen. Now, having studied the books of Matthew and Mark for some time now, we've come to begin looking in the book of Luke. And in our previous message, we looked at the first three chapters. I just quickly ran through it. And matter of fact, I'm going to do that again tonight. Just hit some highlights and show you some things. I'm not going to cover these next chapters as closely as we did chapter 1 through 3. I had you skim through it and look over it and showed you some things. Luke is amazing in the things that he tells us that neither Matthew nor Mark had mentioned. And we'll find out later, neither does John mention them. But Luke's the only one that gave us so much information. I'm not going to run back over that. But a lot of things that we know so very well, like being laid in a manger. That's only found in Luke's gospel. Amen. Like the mother and father of John the Baptist, and then the meeting of Mary with Elizabeth, John the Baptist's mother, and the babe leaping in her womb. All those things are only recorded in Luke's gospel, and many other things as well that we talked about last week. Now tonight, I want to begin looking at chapter number 4 and move ahead some. And I'm not going to tell you where as far as I'm going to try to go tonight, because it'd scare you if I told you. But I will not be long. Really, to be honest with you, I think this is something like what I said when I preached on the duties of husbands and wives. I think we need little bits and pieces so we can chew it and we can digest it and really get all the good out of it we can. And then move along. But beginning in chapter number 4, if we just did a survey of chapters 1 through 3 as we did, we ended chapter 3 with the lineage of Christ all the way back to Adam, who he says was the Son of God. That's the last phrase in Luke chapter number chapter number 3. When you start chapter number 4, look at verse number 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. I'm not going to read the rest of chapter or verse number 2, but you begin looking in chapter 4, you'll find out that chapter 4 of Luke's gospel lines up almost identical to chapter 4 of Matthew's gospel. They're both talking about the wilderness temptation of Christ there by the devil. It's the same. Luke's account of Matthew's account are the same. Only Luke's is more concise. Luke's changes the order a little bit, and I'm not going to delve into that. I do believe there's reason for that. I'll leave that for another time and maybe another thought. But Luke just tells us really the same thing Mark or that Matthew does. Mark doesn't mention much at all. He just little, if you remember, when we talked about the book of Mark, he just barely spoke about the temptation of Christ in the wilderness. But there's one statement Luke makes that Matthew does not make. And it's in verse number 1. Look there, if you will. Matthew omits this statement, and only Luke records it concerning our Lord. Verse number 1. And Jesus, here's the phrase, being full of the Holy Ghost. Now, he goes on to say he's led of the Spirit. Matthew said he's led of the Spirit. Matthew's gospel, the Spirit is a little lowercase s. Some say that meant, and I've heard preachers preach on it, make a whole point about that he wasn't led by the Holy Spirit. No, he was led by his human spirit. No, that's not right. Because this tells us definitely he was led by the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit. Amen. Can I say to you that even our Lord's human spirit was a Holy Spirit? Amen. But he tells us in Luke's gospel, without any question, not only is he led of the Spirit, he is full of the Spirit. Amen. He's totally filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. And I believe that speaks of his humanity, because you read that over and over in the Bible to talk about a human being that is filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. And so this is the humanity of Christ, is filled with God's Holy Spirit. Amen. Then Luke moves on to the part that I chose for our opening in verses. Well, when you read on down through here, you read about the temptation. But when you get down to verse number 16, he's leaving that wilderness and look at verse number 14. We'll back up to there. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. And he taught in all their synagogues, being glorified of all. That lines up with Matthew's gospel as well. But then when you get to verse 16, you're in a part that is not recorded in Matthew's gospel, neither is it recorded in Mark's gospel. It is the statement of our Lord at home in Nazareth, our Lord going to the synagogue, it said, as his custom was, our Lord standing up to preach, again, I believe, as his custom was, amen, and our Lord getting the book, the scriptures, amen, he took the, by the way, if Jesus was to preach here tonight, he'd use this King James Bible. I don't have a doubt in my mind. Amen. Amen. I don't have a doubt in my mind he'd use this Bible, or when I say this Bible, he might have his own, but he'd use the same thing we're using, and he'd preach and teach to us what thus saith the Lord. Amen. He wouldn't give us some new thing. He wouldn't give us some modern writing. He'd use the very word of God. He did then, as his custom was, and he would today. Amen. This crowd's always looking for something new. They're getting themselves in trouble looking for something new. Amen. They're in a very dangerous place looking for new things. Amen. Need to stick with the old stuff. Amen. Stick with the old stuff. But Jesus took the scriptures and preach from it. Amen. Look at verse number 16. And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. Now that's an interesting statement. That little phrase. Where he had been brought up. We use that kind of talk, don't we? This is where I was brought up. This is where I grew up. This is my old stomping ground. This was my home, or however we use that. This is where I was brought up. You know what we're talking about? You don't talk about God being brought up somewhere. You talk about humans being brought up somewhere. So this is his humanity again, being magnified. He is the very Son of God, but in Nazareth is where he grew up as the Son of Man. Amen. Amen. And so he's referencing that. It's where he was brought up. But then look on. And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Now notice that. He found the place where it was written. The book didn't float up to him and open up to the right place. He had to open the book himself, and he had to turn, we'd say turn the pages. I recognize it's probably a scroll. But he had to turn the pages to find the book of Isaiah where this text was written. You know what that's showing us again? I know he's the Word. He could have quoted it from memory. You know he could have. You say, I don't know if that man had memorized it. Well, he's the man that wrote it all. He's the man that spoke it all. He's the man that told Isaiah how to pin it down. Amen. He could have very easily just quoted it all, but he's showing his humanity again in that he's picking up the Bible and he's turning the pages and he's finding the place. Amen. Now here's something else that shows me he is very comfortable with that scripture. He is very comfortable finding the place there in that. Amen. So it was not something new to him. Amen. And the Bible ought not be new to me and you. Amen. And so I like that fact that he had opened place. And by the way, I've talked about the different books that I've read. A.W. Pink's the one that pointed that out, that Jesus found the place where it was written. He said it's Jesus, the perfect man, using the perfect book, amen, and using the perfect text. He is rightly dividing the Word of God. Now here's another point I'm going to bring out. If you turn to the book of Isaiah and read this prophecy that is prophesied of our Lord did not read to the end of the sentence. Our Lord did not read to the period. Matter of fact, our Lord put a period in Luke's gospel where in the book of Isaiah, it's only a comma. Because in the prophecy of Isaiah, Isaiah not only saw the first coming of our Lord, but he saw the second coming. And he saw him as one. He didn't see it as two different things. And when he's talking about this prophecy that he's anointed to preach the gospel, he goes on and talking about the acceptable day of the Lord. But he also says this, and to preach, he starts talking about the judgment of Almighty God. Well, Jesus, and by the way, Jesus is going to say, if you look in the text there, in verse number 20, and he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. Look at verse 21. And he began to say unto them, this day
is this scripture fulfilled in your ears? Now, he wasn't going to fulfill the judgment part of it. Amen. So he rightly divided the scripture in that he stopped where that he was going to deal with his sermon for that day and where it was actually that prophecy was being fulfilled that day in their very eyes and in their very ears as he said it was. Amen. So that's a blessing to me. So we see Luke giving us that story of our Lord that none of the others even mention. Amen. Another thing that's unique to Luke's gospel, and it's found in this same chapter, is that there are multiple references to Gentiles. I pointed out to you before that when Simeon saw the Lord and Luke's gospel and that's not mentioned in any of the other gospels, but Simeon makes that big statement. He's a light to lighten the Gentiles. Not just the house of Israel, but a light to lighten the Gentiles. Look at chapter 4, verse number 24. Reading on down a few more verses. Verse 24. The Bible said, and he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. By the way, let me back up and say this. I got ahead of myself. When Jesus said, this day is the Spirit of the Lord upon me. The Spirit of God is upon me and hath anointed me to preach the gospel. And he goes through those things. And you know what he's doing? He's telling them, I am a prophet. Jesus was taking his role. He's the prophet, priest, and king. Amen. Not just the king of Israel. By the way, the priest was a man, and the prophet was a man, and the king was a man, and Jesus in Luke's gospel is the man, Christ Jesus. Amen. He's the son of man. Amen. But here in this text, he's showing himself as the man that's the prophet. I'm the preacher. He's aligning himself with Isaiah and all the other prophets of the Old Testament. He said, I'm preaching just like them. And then he comes on in verse 24 and he says, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. You know where he was? He was in his own country. And so he's prophesying that they're not going to accept him. Amen. Look at verse number 25. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias. We'd say Elijah. When the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land, but unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. By the way, she was a Gentile widow. That's the point he's making. Verse number 27. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Eliseus, we'd say Elisha, the prophet. And none of them were cleansed save in Naaman the Syrian. That's a Gentile leper. Amen. So Jesus is telling them that I'm going to be rejected, but the Gentiles will receive me. Let's read on. And verse number 28. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. His preaching made them mad. Amen. That's not unusual, is it, Brother Hall? Sometimes people get upset when you preach the Word of God and tell the truth, especially, and I don't mean it, but especially at home. Somebody said, hey, nobody knows where the dirt is at your house no better than the broom at your house. Amen. And in our ranks, we know where the dirt is. Isn't that right? Amen. And sometimes we have to speak up about it. Every now and then God says it's time to say something. It's time to shine the light. It's time to preach about it. Jesus doing that in his own house to his own people. And he said, you're not going to receive me. All right? And they got angry in verse number 28, verse 29, and rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him under the brow of a hill whereupon their city was built that they might cast him down headlong. But he passing through the midst of them went on his way. Amen. Now notice what Jesus did here in Luke chapter 4. Jesus places himself in line with the other prophets. He's a prophet like Isaiah. He's a prophet like Elijah. He's a prophet like Elisha. And he says, no prophet is without honor except in his own country. Amen. And he said that he's not accepted in his own country. And he talked about how Elijah was rejected by the Jews. He went to that Sidonian woman. He talked about Elisha going to that Syrian, that Gentile leper, and God using them to perform a miracle and a healing for him. By the way, Elijah performed two miracles for that woman, at least two. He not only helped her, kept her meal in the barrel and her oil going, but he raised her son from the dead when her son died. Amen. So he's able to feed and he's able to resurrect amen, a Gentile. And then he's able, in Elisha's case, to cleanse a corruptive Gentile. Amen. By the way, that's what Jesus came to do. Amen. He came to be bread from heaven to feed the souls of sinners. He came to rescue and resurrect dead sinners. Amen. And he came to cleanse and change corrupted sinners. Amen. So he places himself in the line of those prophets, and it seemed that he's prophesying to these people that he's going to be rejected of the Jews, and that when he is, he's going to turn to the Gentiles. Amen. That infuriated the Jews. And you know what they did? They responded by doing exactly what he said they'd do. They rejected him. They refused him. And they cast him out. Amen. Amen. They responded just as he had prophesied that they would. Then the rest of chapter 4 and all of chapter 5 read almost identical to the other Gospels. And I don't have to go into them in a whole lot of detail. Getting to Luke chapter number 6, you'll notice that there's a difference. In Luke chapter number 6, there's an account. Well, the first several verses, it's a pretty lengthy chapter. First several verses are about identical with Matthew's Gospel particularly. But when you get down to verse number 20, I believe it is. Let me see if that's right. I've got my notes and find my place. Yep, verse number 20. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, "Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." That sounds very familiar, doesn't it? That sounds like what we call the Beatitudes. It sounds like the Sermon on the Mount. That's recorded in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Here, there's just a few verses in chapter number 6 that it deals with, beginning with the 20th verse. And it's comparable, though quite different, than Matthew's Gospel. One thing different, and by the way, some commentators say this is the same account. If you look at some harmonies of Scripture, they say this is the same account. But look at verse number 17. Back up to verse 17 in chapter 6. The Bible said, "And he came down with them and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples and a great multitude of people out of Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And they were vexed with unclean spirits." And he goes on, and then he begins to preach to them. This is not a Sermon on the Mount. This is a sermon in the valley. He makes it plain. This is not a sermon up on the mountain. This is a sermon down in the plain near the seashore, because all these cities and these people that are coastal cities and coastal towns are coming out to hear him. So Luke's account is different, although a lot of the sermon topic is the same, because it's the same preacher. Amen. And I said it then, I'll say it again. A lot of times you'll hear the same thing and maybe a different title. Amen. They say about some preachers, they say they just look for a different text and change the title and preach the same sermon again. Amen. Our Lord did that somewhat, and so we see that in Luke chapter number six. Amen. Now, here's another difference we find in Luke's Gospel. Turn to chapter number 9. I'm going to skip over 7 and 8, and there's some things we'll look back at that eventually, maybe next time. I'll just point out some individual things, but I'll jump to chapter number 9 and show you a difference in Luke's Gospel, and I'm going to compare it to Matthew's Gospel primarily. There's a difference, a stark difference in Luke's account, that he omits some things that are found in Matthew's account. If you're in Luke chapter number 9, and if you will, look back at Matthew chapter number 10, and we'll hold your place in Luke 9. I'll come and read that first. But go back to Matthew chapter 10. It's the same account, I think. Luke chapter 9, I'll begin reading verse 1, and then we'll go to chapter 10 of Matthew. Luke chapter 9, verse 1. "Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. And whatsoever house ye enter into, there abide and depart, and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere." Now look over in Matthew's Gospel and chapter number 10. Matthew chapter 10, verses 5 through 7. He lists those 12 disciples in chapter 10, verses 1 down through verse 5 and then through verse 4. Verse 5, he picks up, these 12 Jesus sent forth. Sounds just like Luke, doesn't it? And commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles. You notice Luke didn't say that. Luke doesn't mention, go not into the way of the Gentiles. Then he says, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. Luke didn't mention that. But rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Luke didn't mention that. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Luke didn't mention that. But when you go on to verse 8, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely ye have received, freely give, provide neither gold nor silver nor brass for your purse, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. And into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till you go thence. And when you come into any house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return unto you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the very dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Notice Luke's and Matthew's account, so very similar, except Luke left out, totally left out verses 5, 6, and 7 of what Matthew said. He did not say don't go to the Gentiles. He did not say don't go to the Samaritans. And he did not say go only to the house of Israel. And he did not say preach the gospel of the kingdom. Because Luke is showing us something very different. It's the same account. I don't doubt that it's the same account. Luke has the same details but leaves out some certain requirements. Now, something Luke adds that's not found in Matthew's account, Luke chapter 9 and verse number 10, that last phrase. He said, and they departed and went through the towns preaching the gospel, not just the gospel of the kingdom. And look at this phrase, and healing everywhere, not just the house of Israel, everywhere, it looks like. Now here's where I'm going with that. You say, preacher, do you think these are two different accounts? No, I think they're the same account. You think one's right and the other's wrong? No, I think they're both right. Amen. I don't have any doubt that they're both right. I say it again. Just because Luke mentions some things that Matthew doesn't, or Matthew mentions some things that Luke doesn't, does not mean that one is right and the other incorrect. Amen. I believe they're both correct. Matthew simply included details that Luke overlooked or decided not to include. Amen. We've talked about that before. If we were to step outside as we're leaving tonight and we see an automobile accident out there, let's say one of the women's driving home and we see an accident. I shouldn't have said that. But we see an accident outside. Several of us see it. When they come, we start telling about it. Some of us will say different things about it. Even though all the facts may be totally right, some of us just don't notice some things others do notice. Amen. I'm not a very observant person when it comes to some things. I remember years ago, I think it was a youth choir was singing in a revival meeting across the county there in Wilkes. And the choir leader hadn't gotten there yet. We pulled up in the parking lot. Wasn't a whole lot of people there. We got there pretty early, believe it or not. And there was a red Thunderbird sitting there. Brother Terry Sheets drove is his mom and dad's red burgundy Thunderbird. And so there's that Thunderbird. I said, I believe that's Brother Terry's car. Joshua wasn't much bigger than Canaan. And Joshua said, nope, ain't got the same wheels. I didn't know what kind of wheels it had. I had no idea what kind of wheels it had, but he had noticed that it's something different. Amen. Some people just notice things others don't notice is what I'm saying. Now, I'm not saying that Luke made a mistake in not noticing. I'm saying God didn't tell Luke to write that. Amen. God didn't tell him to write it. Now, here's something that's interesting. Matthew's gospel, angling to the Jews particularly, would be very, very careful to say, don't go to the Gentiles, don't go to the Samaritans, only go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Amen. Luke's gospel, he's just got through telling us about the fact that Jesus said, when the Jews reject me, I am going to the Gentiles. By the way, he didn't change his mind. That had been his plan all along. Amen. He's only revealing to us the plan of God. Amen. So Israel did reject him. Christ did come unto his own, as Matthew said. He did come unto his own. They did reject him. And he did turn to the Gentiles. And he went about doing good everywhere. Amen. Amen. Just like God had always intended him to do. Now we're still in Luke chapter number 9, but down towards the end of it. Look at verse number 51. Luke's Gospel chapter number 9, verse number 51. And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into the village of the Samaritans. You see that? Now he just told them in Matthew, don't go to the Samaritans. But here in Luke's Gospel, he does go to the Samaritans. And you know, our text Josh was using in Sunday school this morning, John 4, he must needs go through Samaria. Amen. It's not a discrepancy in the scripture. It's just a difference in the timeline. Amen. At one time, he's going only to the Jews, but the Jews reject him. And so he reaches out to the Gentiles. Amen. Even Samaritans as well. Let me keep reading. By the way, this is only recorded in Luke's Gospel. Matthew, Mark, nor John mention this fact of Jesus in his earthly ministry going to this city of Samaria and them not receiving him. I'm going to go back. Look at verse number 51 again. And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up. You underline this phrase. He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. I'm glad Jesus set his face. Amen. And sent messengers before his face and went and entered into the village, into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them as Elias did? They must have been independent Baptists. Wouldn't you want just to burn them up? They deserve to burn, Lord. They deserve to burn. But he turned and rebuked them. Rebuked them. Amen. And said, ye know not what manner of spirit you're of. For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. Amen. Now here's something I said is only Luke, from here to the end of chapter 9, I'm not going to read the rest of this at the moment, but only Luke records this portion of Scripture. We might speculate why Matthew would not have recorded it, and we might say, well, it's because that he's writing to the Jews, and that would have offended them. For Jesus to have went to Samaria, it's interesting to me that it offends the Samaritans that he's headed to Jerusalem. It would have offended them at Jerusalem to know he'd went through Samaria. He's just offending people right and left, it seems like. Amen. He didn't come to bring peace, he came to bring a sword. That's what he said, and that's exactly what he's doing. But then, neither Mark nor John record it, and so, for one reason or another, we don't really know the reason. But obviously, Luke here is referring to Jesus as the Son of Man. He's going to be the rejected Son of Man. Amen. He comes to seek and to save that which is lost. By the way, that's what Luke said in Luke chapter 19. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. He's seeking to save the lost in Jerusalem. He's seeking to save the lost in Nazareth. He's seeking to save the lost in Samaria. Amen. But here's what happens. It reveals to us here, these disciples get upset because these Samaritans don't receive the Lord. Sometimes we get upset that people don't receive our gospel. Amen. And really, any disciple of the Lord ought to be jealous of our Lord's reputation and testimony. When somebody just denies him, it ought to upset us. Amen. So when somebody just ridicules our Lord, it ought to cause us to be riled up a little bit. We ought to be protective of our Lord's testimony. Amen. But these men said, we ought to just call down fire. In other words, they said, we ought to just send them all off into hell. Amen. Jesus said, you're of the wrong spirit, fellas. Amen. ye know not what spirit ye are of. That's the statement that our Lord made. He said, I didn't come to destroy men. I came to save them. Amen. Now here's what I notice. Look again in verse number, let me see where it's at. In verse number 56, there's two sentences. For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Here's the next one. And they went to another village. When one door is slammed in your face, go to another door. When one witness is refused, give another witness. Go to somebody else. That's what our Lord's showing here in this case. And by the way, that's what he's going to do to Israel. When Israel slammed the door, he's going to go to somebody else. Amen. Amen. One more thing I'll point out tonight and I'll be done. In chapter number 10, I'm not going to go through all of chapter 10, but just a little bit. Look at verse number 1. This is unique to Luke's gospel. And after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Here's what's amazing to me. He sent out the 12 two by two. We saw that in chapter 9. We also saw that in Matthew 10. But these 70 that sent out, you don't read that in Matthew. And you don't read that in Mark. And you don't read that in John. Only Luke tells us that Jesus not only sent out the 12, he sent out the 70 also. Amen. Now, you say, why does Luke mention others? I don't know why that he mentions it when others don't, but I'll show you something it does, or I'll tell you something it does show to me. It shows the compassion and the concern that Jesus had. He's got these 12 disciples and they're going to towns and they're doing their best. Some towns are refusing them. And he said, kick the dust off your feet, go somewhere else. But he's not happy with just 12. So he gathers more. I don't know how many followers he had. He appeared before 500 at one time after his resurrection. There's 120 in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. I don't know how many he had in his earthly ministry, but here he gets 70 and he sends those 70 out. Other 70. One commentator said he believed that's not counting the 12. Other 70. I might have thought, well, the 12 might have been in that. He sends out 70 at another time, but it does look like the text says other 70 besides the 12. Amen. He sends out even more and tells them to go, and they go into all the cities which he himself would come to at a later time. Amen. It shows the compassion that our Lord has. Then he goes talking in verse number 2 about the harvest being great. Amen. And the laborers being few. And he says, pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest. Now we find that in Matthew's gospel. Amen. We find that in all the gospels, really, in one sense or another. But in this case, it's connected to these 70. Our Lord had a real burden for people to know that he had come to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. I say this, Jesus, in this statement about the sending out these 70, there's something else that only Luke records. There's two statements that are very powerful statements in this text. Look at verse number 18. Well, let's look at 17. Verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy. Again, it's not found in any of the other gospels. The 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us. And he said unto them, listen to this statement. I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Praise God. But we wouldn't have had that statement if we didn't have Luke's gospel. Because Matthew doesn't mention that. Mark doesn't. John doesn't. Jesus made that statement that said, I'm a man, but I'm more than a man. Amen. I was there when Satan fell from heaven. Amen. He's interested in the harvest. But he's also telling them that he's more than a man. They come back rejoicing that the devils are subject unto them. Look at verse number 20. Here's another statement that we wouldn't have if it wasn't for Luke's gospel. Notwithstanding, these are the words of our Lord. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Amen. Amen. The song the youth choir sang. I can tell you the story of all these, the blind was healed and the lame made to walk, but I'd rather tell you what happened to me. Amen. Here's one thing I know. I know, yes, I know. My name is written down. Amen. Amen. There's a new name in glory and it's mine. Amen. Written down. My name's been written down in glory. We wouldn't have that if it wasn't for this text of these 70 people went out knocking on doors and sharing the gospel and preaching the gospel everywhere they went. We wouldn't have that statement that Jesus made, because Matthew doesn't mention it, Mark doesn't mention it, and John doesn't mention it. Amen. I'm glad my name's written down, aren't you? I really believe that'd be a good place to stop. I said that's where I'm going to stop tonight. I would like for us to contemplate for a minute. This man we're talking about, he's a man, but he's more than just any old man. He was there when, he was there when Lucifer rose up against God. He was there when God kicked the devil out of heaven. Amen. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you the truth. I believe the one that kicked him out of heaven was Jesus himself. Amen. Because I know who kicked him out of my heart. Amen. It was Jesus himself kicked him out of my heart. And yours too if you're saved by the grace of God. Because there's nobody else does any kicking of the devil out but Jesus. Amen. But he's more than a man. But here's a statement too. Do you know that your name's written down? And we can rejoice in all this Bible knowledge we learn if we do learn the Bible. We can rejoice in the fact that we sing good songs. And we can rejoice in a whole lot of things. But do you know that your name's written down in heaven? Jesus said that's what you really ought to be rejoicing about. That your name's written in heaven. Let's stand to our feet as they come with a song and a little time of invitation. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the truth of it. Thank you for Luke's gospel. Lord, we got a wonderful Bible. And I'm glad you didn't leave one book out of it. I'm glad you didn't leave any of it out. Lord, we've got a complete Bible, a perfect Bible, and I'm grateful for it. Lord, help us to learn it more. Help us rightly divide it. Help us to stand on it. Lord, I pray tonight somebody might come to know that their name's written down if they don't know that yet. That they might be saved by the good grace of God, because the Son of Man did come to seek and to save that which was lost. Have your way, Lord, we pray in the invitation time. Amen. Amen. All right, we're going to sing, and as we sing, if the Lord spoke to you, you need to come. Would you obey the Lord?